Now our Old Testament reading this evening is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Our next reading is taken from Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 to 20, and it tells about the birth of Jesus. So in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which they were just as they had been told. Amen.
Now I'd like to draw your attention to a free booklet, 50 pages less than that, called The Greatest Gift. There are a quantity on the table in the vestibule outside. Do take a copy of it, and you're pleased to look at it and read it through. Now, I'm drawing attention to two verses in Luke chapter 2. We've heard them read already this evening. Verses 10 and 11. It's the words of the angel. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." If you're like me, you've probably been very busy over the last couple of weeks. There are many things we have to do. Cards to write and stamp. Presents to choose and to wrap. I've still got some wrapping to do tonight. People to phone and to visit. Food to buy and prepare. Little wonder then, in all that busyness, that perhaps we've had little time to keep up with the news. We can be out of touch with what's happening in the nation, perhaps what's going on in Europe, and certainly what's going on in the world. We miss the morning news, we don't stop for lunch, and we're so busy we miss the early evening news as well, with other things we have to do, and then it's so too late to catch the late night news reports. Well, that might well be the case with the good news of the gospel. Again, this Christmas, you've been so busy in your preparation that you haven't had time to pause and to hear the good news. And so in case that's true, all I'm going to simply do tonight, like a news reporter, is to give you the Christmas headlines. And the first Christmas headline this evening is this: prophecies have been fulfilled. The first headline is that the prophecies of the Old Testament about the coming of a chosen one, a special one, the Messiah or the Christ, have been wonderfully fulfilled at the first Christmas. Some 700 years before it happened, Isaiah, and we've read those verses from chapter 9 this evening, spoke of a child being born and a son being given. A wonderful counselor to take care of all the decisions of life. A mighty God to take care of the demands and busyness of life. An everlasting Father to take care of the dimensions of life. And the Prince of Peace to care for the disturbances of life. Those are four descriptions that Warren Wiersbe gives. Some 700 years before it occurred, Micah, another of the prophets, predicted that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It was this promise that the chief priests and teachers of the law read out to King Herod and the wise men when they turned up in Jerusalem looking for the King of the Jews. The first Christmas, then, has an historical context. It had long been awaited for and expected. It's not a made-up story. It's not a fairy story. In the days of King Caesar Augustus, he said that all the world should be taxed. Herod was on the throne in Jerusalem. The God of heaven and earth works out his purposes according to a perfect plan. And this gospel is preached in all the world, and you are sitting here tonight, not by accident, not even by invitation, even although perhaps you've responded to our annual Christmas cards, some 2,500 that we send around the homes. But you are here because of the drawing power of the Almighty God. So the first thought, the first headline, prophecies are being fulfilled. Secondly, the second headline, the good news headline, is that God is with us. God has visited this earth. But surely you might say, God is with us as the creator of the world and as the one who sustains it. We do not agree with the deists who think that God is like a watchmaker who made a clock, wound it up, and then let it tick away, taking no further interest in its motion or looking at the time until eventually it comes to a standstill. The Christmas story tells us that the Creator has become a creature. He stoops down. He comes amongst us. He dwells with us. He lives among us. C.S. Lewis said, God has landed on this enemy-occupied planet in human form. Jesus is the human face of God. God wrapped in our clay, as one of the old carols says. This was more than a celebrity work experience exercise. We see them from time to time on the screen, don't we? Some politician living on £100 a week on a council estate. Or an international superstar working 9 to 5 stocking shelves in a superstore. But this is no token visit. Some celebrities sleeping rough for a night to raise awareness of the plight of the homeless. Some 9,000, we understand, in Wales, sleeping homeless this year. Remember how Prince William did that on one occasion in the past. This is no fleeting visit to the jungle with the option of getting me out of here. Jesus comes for the long run, to identify totally with humankind and all the experiences of life, its struggles and its sorrows, its storms, as well as its joys. Jesus came to accomplish something wonderful for us all. Not a visit, a few interesting sights, and to buy a couple of memory-jogging objects as tokens, perhaps, of the journey. But he came to do us good and came to rescue us. The third Christmas headline this evening is that there is good news for all. That's the third headline. Good news for all manner of people. People have been sitting in darkness. Gloom was pressing down. That's what we read in Isaiah chapter 9. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us that the child's name was to be Jesus, Saviour, because he will save his people from their sins. About 6 years ago, the Royal Mail produced a series of Christmas stamps celebrating alongside it the anniversary, 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. And one of the stamps, it was a second class stamp actually, carried a picture of an angel communicating with Joseph as he slept. And in the corner of the stamp, you have a Bible reference, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It's a reference to the fact that he was to marry her. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I don't know how much that stamp is worth today if you have an unused version, but it was a second-class stamp with a first-class message. The bad news that everybody knows is that they have failed. To fail to live a clean, true, pure, honest and open life. And if we're honest about it, there are many times in a day and certainly many times in a week and in a month and in a year perhaps since we last met here that we've had to say sorry. There are things we have thought, things that have been said, and things done in secret and in public that cause us to fear meeting God. And that was the little picture of that teddy bear as he sought to speak. He just wanted to hide, to be wrapped up, so no one would truly see him as he was. I wonder if you've wrapped yourself up. You've enclosed yourself. You've built the walls. You no longer reach out because you know of what's inside you. Well, this message of Christmas is for you. This falling short all the time is compounded by those deliberate occasions when we have gone against our conscience and willfully done and said and thought unholy and wrong things. Conversation with a former colleague that I worked with some years ago, I asked her the questions with regards to coming along to a service. She hesitated. I followed up by asking her to whether she could fail to, or had failed or to perhaps, or committed one sin, and that would be enough to cause her to have great problem in the presence of God. She quickly said, well, if that's the case, we're all in trouble. And she was right in what she said. But despite this bad news, there is good news for us this evening. that this Christmas story is the beginning of a purpose that will end in salvation, end in rescue, end in forgiveness, end in hope for all who will believe in the child who becomes a man and dies to be the saviour of the world. My fourth Christmas headline this evening is simply this: outsiders are included. The message is for everyone. Who will give it attention? So you may not be a member of a church or a chapel. I'm not worried about that this evening. How amazing that the first to be told this good news were themselves outsiders, shepherds in the field. They were not part of the religious in-crowd of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, but they were on the outskirts of society. They didn't always attend the annual feasts, the three main feasts of the year. They didn't always wash their hands before eating food. Yet the good news came to them first. And another example, consider the wise men in Matthew 2. Intelligent men, but not Jews. From the east, we read, probably Persia, modern-day Iran. Again, outsiders. Perhaps this evening, as you've come to this service, you feel like an outsider coming to a candlelit service. You are out of your usual comfort zone, perhaps. Yet this message of a saviour is for you. He came with you in mind. He came to wash away, to remove the guilt of the past, to give you a new start, a clean break, a fresh beginning. And you can be at any age to start again with the Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherds and the wise men were never the same after coming to Bethlehem. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sin and believe and trust in him, not only believing that he is the one who was born in the cradle, but also the one who died on the cross, there bearing away your sin, then God declares forgiveness to all who believe and trust in him. For he said clearly on the cross, "It is finished, a completed work. I've done all that's needed to secure your pardon and release from wrath, and you will never be the same again." And then the other headline, glory to God. The final headline is the Christmas story, is that it is all done by God for the salvation of those who are lost, and it brings glory to his name. It brings peace to the lives of people, but it also exalts and brings praise to God, who, despite knowing the worst about us, sends his best to make us right with himself. He gives us his very best gift, the greatest gift, as this book, which is on offer, describes. Any heart who's truly understood what Jesus has done, by coming into the world, by living a life, a perfect life, by dying, by rising from the dead, will desire to live in fellowship with Jesus all the remaining days of life. Now, we cannot earn or deserve forgiveness this evening, but we may live for God and give him the glory for what began in the Christmas story. So it's a perfect plan, a perfect person, and it brings perfect peace to those who believe and who trust in him. Make this Christmas a perfect one by believing in Jesus and committing your life to him. So those then this evening are the Christmas headlines. Prophecies have been fulfilled. God is with us. It's good news for all. Outsiders are included. And glory is given to God. And finally, the weather. If the sun shines in your heart, your days will be bright, despite the clouds and the gloom that we see around us. May God bless his word to your heart this evening.